Just heard Any Moment by Gene, and I really like that song. It's like girl punk pop, and I feel like when I listen to it, I'm like, I've just gotten off my motorcycle and like entered a bar and I'm wearing all leather. It's just like very, very hardcore, so that's a good one. Hello, you're listening to CITR 101.9 FM, and I'm coming to you live today from the traditional, ancestral, and unceded territory of the Musqueam people. My name is Sarah, and you're listening to Feeling Sounds, and this is a radio show where I play indie music and talk about the way that it makes me feel. So today I have a very special guest with me. Her name is Sam Lynch, and she's a folk artist here from Vancouver. Hey, Sam, how's it going?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you so much for being here today.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. So we're going to be playing a couple of songs and then having an interview with Sam later on in the show, so make sure you guys stay tuned for that. So up next, I have You Seemed So Happy by The Japanese House. And I've been listening to The Japanese House for a while, and I did not know that it was a girl. Sam is, like, rocking out in the corner here. Do you also like The
She's
Japanese
great.
House?
Yeah.
She's super good. But yeah, I didn't know that she was a girl. Her voice is just, like, very masculine, and I don't know. I was just, like, very surprised to find that, but it's, like, really unique, interesting music because of that, so I think it's pretty cool. So yeah, this is You Seemed So Happy by The Japanese House.
See me in the way that I feel, but all these things don't help.
That was Jenny Audio Tree live version by Beach Bunny. And before that, you heard You Seemed So Happy by the Japanese House. So Beach Bunny is one of my favorite bands that I would categorize under the genre of like angry girls, just like angst bands. Yeah, they make a lot of good stuff. So Jenny by Beach Bunny.
Thanks to sky high gas prices, we can convince America that more drilling is the answer. High gas prices? Drill more. Prices still high? Try drilling in a wildlife refuge or off a nice beach.
Our traditional energy resources are limited. Luckily, it's easy for students like you to conserve energy.
Woke up late for class? Buy some time in the morning by taking a shorter shower. Cut down by 1 minute every day and save enough to fund your daily caffeine fix for over a week. Plus, you save on electricity and water. Install a water-saving showerhead to save even more.
For more energy-saving tips, go to www.bchydro.com. This message brought to you by BC Hydro and CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver.
Hey, I'm Sarah from Alien Boys, and you are listening to CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver.
All right, so I have Sam Lynch with me today.
Hi.
Hi. And so we're going to be doing an interview. I'm very excited.
Me too.
All right, so just for a little bit of an introduction, I met Sam at one of her shows and asked her to be on my show Feeling Sounds, and she's a folk artist born and raised in Vancouver. And yeah, so I guess my first question is, when did you start writing music, and do you remember the first time you ever wrote a song?
Yeah, so I started writing music when I was a young teenager, like 13, 14, and just when you're like overflowing with angst and emotions and I didn't really know how else to process those things. The first song I wrote, I don't know if I remember the very first song I ever wrote, but I remember the first song that I wrote and then played again.
Okay.
And then again. So I guess the first song that stuck. Yeah, I don't know. It just, I played it like at an open mic once.
Yeah. What was that song about?
about like, just like angsty teenage feelings towards my dad.
Okay. Understandable. And,
yeah. Yep.
Cool. So what inspires you to write now compared to back then?
I mean, I think it's like, it's very much still like motivated from an like emotional place. I find that a lot of my writing comes from like a very introspective place. So I find that even when I'm writing about other things or like, you know, present it in a way of, you know, talking about other people, oftentimes I find that I'm actually talking about myself or talking to myself. So yeah, I think it's always very much like related to how I'm feeling, and it's my way of kind of sorting through all of those things. And I think I'm perhaps a little bit more aware now. You know, I'll write a song and it'll spill out, and I think I'm a little bit more quick to look at it and be like, okay, what am I actually talking about here? Whereas perhaps when I was younger or even earlier, you know, a couple years ago, it would just kind of like spill out and I would just sort of leave it and not really understand quite exactly what I was talking about or trying to get at. Okay. So, yeah.
Can you like outline a little bit about your writing process? Like how do you begin and how do you work from like your beginning ideas?
Yeah, I don't know. I think I'm a pretty busy brain. So my writing process, like it always looks quite different. But I think generally speaking, I feel like my brain is always like this whirlpool and like all of these things kind of spinning around. And I have a hard time. Like a lot of people talk about, you know, oh, I want to write a song about this and have a really clear idea or concept right from the get-go and then kind of follow that. And that never really seems to be the way that it goes for me. It's always just sort of starts with either just playing my guitar, like, quite mindlessly or in a way that feels mindless to me, to kind of just, like, free up that space and, like, free up any, like, expectations. I find when I go in with, like, set expectations of I'm going to write a song and I want to write a song about this, or I want to write a song that makes me feel this way, it never ends up feeling authentic or comes out in a way that feels real to me. So I think I've kind of realized that my writing process is very much rooted in the unpredictable nature of my brain.
Okay. So it's kind of just like things spilling out.
Yeah, yeah, very much so. And I have, like, my phone is constantly yelling at me because I don't have enough space on it. And I have so many voice memos of just, like, garbage rambling that I'll listen back to sometimes if I'm in my car. I'll, like, you know, turn it up and, like, put on, like, a 15-minute voice memo that I did the night before or something, and just kind of try to see if something of worth is, like, sitting in there. Yeah, so generally speaking, that's kind of how things seem to be working
okay.
for me.
Are the voice memos, like, you talking, or is it, like, you playing and talking? Or, like, what does that look like?
Not so much talking. No, mostly just playing, like, playing guitar or piano and just, like, singing gibberish. Sometimes it's words. Sometimes it's just, like, la-la-la, da-da-da. but, yeah, I think I try to just... It can be really hard to, like, get into that place where you feel kind of, like, free enough to just, like, allow whatever comes out to come out, because sometimes it fucking sucks.
Yeah.
And, you know, and so that can be really hard too, like, taking a break after, you know, trying to, like, write or work for a few hours and just being like, oh my God, like, I'm singing about, like, sitting on a couch or, like, whatever, and, like, nothing feels like it's clicking or working or anything's happening. So yeah, I don't know, I think it's just kind of, like, finding out how to, like, free that space for myself and, like, kind of, like, cut myself a little bit of slack if it's not, like, clicking immediately, which can be really hard.
Yeah, so. I guess also, like, because you say that your music is, like, emotionally inspired, do you mm-hmm. ever find that, like, you feel very vulnerable when you're writing, and that's, like, a lot of emotion right there, or is that something that you're comfortable with?
It's funny, actually, because I don't think that I ever really thought about that, because it was just, like, it's just always just how it's been for me. Like, it's, music has always just been, like, a very emotional thing for me. But it's interesting because I feel like, it doesn't make me feel uncomfortable, but I feel like the more that I write and the more that I surround myself with other songwriters and musicians and the more that I am really, like, diving into other people's music, the more I realize that I think, generally speaking, like, it is a very, like, emotional craft for a lot of people. But it's really interesting to notice that, you know, a lot of writers are motivated sometimes from a different place. And, you know, some writers, like, take a very kind of, like, set process to, like, writing that is, like, still very much emotional, but perhaps not, like, motivated from that place in the same way, or it is, and then it's, like, quickly kind of, like, transferred over into, like, this more methodical way of writing that's a little bit more objective. And so I've been trying to kind of, like, jump into that approach from time to time, but it's funny because I guess I don't feel necessarily vulnerable when I'm writing, but it's more when people ask, like, do you feel vulnerable? Or, like, how is it, like, running such emotional songs? Then I'm like, oh, shit, yeah, like, not everybody does it this way.
Right.
You know? So, yeah, which is fine. It's just, you know, different strokes.
Yeah.
Different folks.
For sure.
Yeah.
All right, so the first song we're going to feature today is Mess You Made. Can you introduce that one?
Yeah. Actually, it was funny because I was just I was talking to one of my friends about this song the other day, and it was like, it was the first song that I, you know, quote unquote, put out. And I remember putting it out, and I was just so careless about it because, like, at that point, like, I didn't really have any, like, expectations. I didn't have, you know, I just kind of, like, I'd written this song and I'd recorded it with a friend in a basement. And then I just literally was like sitting in a cafe in Nelson and just like hit send, and like it went on the internet. And it's just, it's funny like now in hindsight, because it seems to be a song that like that people have connected with, which is really incredible. But I think at its core, it was just like, it was a song that I wrote like from a pretty like broken place. And it's a conversation with myself, really, at its core. So, yeah.
Cool.
That's it.
Cool. Okay. So this is Mess You Made by Sam Lynch.
We sit at the table and still refuse to eat. Keep our hands filled with pitchforks to use as cutlery. I don't wanna fight with you, but the words you say aren't true. I'll paper up these walls while moments turn to years. I'm always waiting on your call. Will this house ever feel like home, dear? I don't wanna fight anymore, but you're breaking through and you're slamming doors, and now I'm cleaning up the mess you made. I'm just cleaning up the mess you made. You can just keep on walking and call it a parade while I'm cleaning up the mess you made. I wander around these city blocks until I find my spot. But I'm falling over my feet and all my messy thoughts. I don't wanna fight anymore, and now I can't get off the goddamn floor. And I'm cleaning up the mess you made. I'm just cleaning up the mess you made. You
Mess You Made by Sam Lynch. And you said that that was the first song you ever put out into the world. So I guess my next question is, how do you feel about like performing versus recording? Like, what are the different experiences?
Well, I don't know. I think that I'm kind of like right in the midst of like a transition in terms of like what each of those things looks like for me, because I think in the past year and a half, recording and performing has been like a quite solitary thing. All the songs that I've recorded and put out have been mostly worked on with like one to three other people kind of thing. It was a pretty like close-knit process. And same with performing. Like, typically I've been performing solo, which I enjoy, and there's been, you know, a handful of shows that I've brought either one or two people, or there's been a couple shows that I've played with a band that have been really fun. But yeah, I think it's generally been like a pretty like solo thing. And I feel like I'm kind of stepping into this period where I was craving more ears and more hands and more people's energy in the music that I was recording and the music that I'm playing. And so I just got back from Montreal where I was recording for just over a month there. And it was a totally different experience and very much like rooted in like capturing moments between people. So like having the opportunity to interact musically with other people in the room and then capture that in a recorded sense was a totally different experience for me.
Did you work with other musicians on the new stuff that you recorded?
Yeah. So, hired some musicians in Montreal that were just like, that are just incredible people and collaborators and musicians. And so, I don't know, it's hard to say, like, there, it's not that I prefer one over the other. It was just a totally different experience. And so now in terms of performing and like what that is going to look like, I'm not entirely sure. I still know that I love playing solo, and I think that it kind of like elicits a certain sense of vulnerability from myself when I'm playing, which I love and I always want to keep close ties with. But I think that I don't know, the thought of like playing with other people and like bouncing energy wise off of each other is really exciting for me. So yeah, I don't know.
Cool. Yeah. Do you want to talk about the music that you just recorded?
Sure. Yeah. So when I was in Montreal, we recorded 7 songs. Well, technically 6 songs. We did like a double version of one.
Okay.
That I still I'm not sure which one I like best, but yeah, so we recorded like the band songs, I'll say, and so the ones that like I was really specifically hearing more hands in. So the songs are a little bit different from what I have out now. It was just really exciting, and I think, I don't know, it's interesting, like, the songs that I have written kind of in the past, like, 5 months to a year, I feel like we're in some way, like, a response, like, my body's response to the past year that I had been writing and then touring and performing, because, as I said, you know, a lot of it was quite solo and solitary, and so I think, like, in some ways, this new sort of batch of songs is, like, a response to like this craving that I had for other, like for other people to be like around and involved. And so when it came to the time to record the music, like that's what I knew I wanted to do. I knew I wanted to work with somebody who I hadn't worked with before, and I knew I wanted to have like kind of fresh ears on my music and be able to like articulate myself for the first time to people. And kind of like feel free in that sense that like they hadn't worked with me before. They weren't, you know, super familiar with my music prior. And so it kind of felt like this opportunity to sort of like step into like an open space. So, yeah.
Did you collaborate on writing with them, or was it more just like the production process?
Just the production process for those. I did actually, co-writing for me is something that like is relatively new, and I feel like I'm still sort of like grasping. There were a few songs that I did record that were, I would say, like majority done, but they were songs that I think that I'd been like kind of holding on to and like perhaps like strongholding a little bit too much and like stubbornly trying to just like, you will be done. And but like sometimes when you're so close to something or so inside of something, it can be hard to kind of just like view it objectively. And so there were a couple songs that I was able to co-write in the sense to like push them to the finish line, you know, which was nice. But in terms of the musicians that I collaborated with and the producer that I collaborated with, it was all just the recording and the production. So
okay, and so are you planning on releasing like a full album? Is that what this is all leading up to?
Yeah. There'll be kind of like new songs coming out. We'll kind of put out a few at a time. But yeah, definitely more songs to record between now and then. But yeah, that's definitely the end goal, is to have a collection of songs and a kind of a record of a period of time, and to release that as a cohesive thing.
Cool, that's so exciting.
Yeah, it is.
Awesome.
Really exciting.
All right, so the next song we're going to play by you is called Christine, and that's from your EP Light and Lines. Can you talk about Christine?
Yeah. Christine's a real person.
Okay.
And I met her when I was in Copenhagen a few years ago. I was traveling on my own, and this was kind of like pre any kind of like music kind of stepping into my life again. And I had met her. I was just traveling on my own and pretty lonely, and didn't really know what the heck I was doing. And I remember I had checked into this hostel that was a nightmare. It was like just very much not my scene, like kind of party animals, and like I was just feeling like so isolated in such a busy place. And so I remember I went for a walk and kind of like stumbled into this coffee shop in the middle of like a rainstorm. It was such a stupid movie moment.
Yeah, that's so picturesque.
She was just like sitting at this table by herself, and I bought myself a coffee and then realized that there were no open like tables, and so she offered for me to sit down, and then we just got to chatting, and it was like this like moment where I realized that I hadn't had like a real conversation with somebody in like weeks, which was just like unreal to me. She ended up inviting me into her home, and I ended up staying with her for a few nights, and then I've like kept in touch since, and now she's like, she just had a baby, and all these things. I don't know. Anyway, it was just kind of this moment where my life kind of just like intercepted somebody else's at like the exact right time.
So, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So this is Christine by Sam Lynch.
On a cold June morning in a northern town, with no sense of direction, my feet hit the ground. I was just headed out. Well, I wandered those streets for an hour or two, the skies they opened up and they brought me to you. And I opened up Christine, let's go back to those places that I've never been. 'Cause I've been losing track of those faces that I can't unsee. No, I can't unsee them, Christine. She said, meet me in the morning, I'll give you my keys. You can head to my apartment, take all the time you need. So I took my time. Well, I made myself some breakfast and I slowly fell apart. Well, I realized that I'd been lying from the start. Oh, I realized, Christine, let's go back to those places that I've never been. I've been losing track of those faces that I can't unsee. Oh, Christine, let's go back to those places that I've never been. Now I can't sleep. No, I can't sleep. No, I can't sleep, Christine.
That was Christine by Sam Lynch. So, Sam, we met at your show, and I told you that the reason I came there was just to ask you to come be on my show today. So I guess I wanted to ask you, like, how do you feel about having fans who are really into your music?
I mean, it's, like, the most humbling feeling that I can't really even put into words. It's... Yeah, I don't know. I went home after that show and I kind of was just like, whoa, I don't know, because you spend so much time like in your own head and like working on these songs that like you're just constantly questioning if they have the potential to hold any space outside of like in your own life, you know? And so it's just like in those moments where it's kind of like it like plucks you out from like underwater almost, where you're kind of like, oh, okay, like life exists outside of my own insane brain.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I don't know. It's huge. It's massive to me. And like, yeah, incredibly humbling. And like it lights this fire in me to like continue to like do it, because I don't know, that's like all that I ever really like craved from music, and all that I ever really want to hopefully add to in this like massive discourse that's happening in the history of the universe in terms of like what music can do for people. And you know, that's just like bring people together. And so like if I can, I don't know, add to that in any small way or, you know, any way at all, like that's massive for me. So
cool. Have you ever thought about, like, because I know that, like, recently you've been doing a lot more with music. Have you ever thought about, like, what would happen if you actually got, like, seriously famous? And, like, how do you feel about that possibility?
No, I don't really think about that, because that's just so, like, that's just, like, not what I care about at all. Like, to me, like, fame is such a like byproduct of other things, you know? And I think that sometimes it can be like a byproduct of something like really unfortunate, and like, you know, we look at like celebrities who are famous and we don't really know why, so it's like, ugh, like what's wrong there? But then, you know, there are also like, you know, musicians or you know, actors or, you know, people who are involved in the arts in some way who have like made these incredible bodies of work and have like therefore garnered this like, you know, fame or celebrity status from that. And like, and you know, great, fine, but I don't know, to me it's just like it's all very confusing to me, and especially with like, you know, social media and the internet and all of these things, like it's just like boggling to me. And so have I thought about it? Like, it's passed through my mind, but like I try to not ever sit with that thought.
It's kind of stressful, like the concept.
Yeah, it is. Sure, it's stressful. I think more than anything, the thing that stresses me out the most, though, is the fact that like people would like perhaps not just like listen to what I'm trying to make it with like the same view. You know, because I feel like if somebody like, and I even catch myself doing it, you know, it's like if this person has all of a sudden like garnered this overnight celebrity status, then it's kind of like you go into like seeing or viewing or witnessing whatever they've made with like a different set of lenses, whether you mean to or not, you know? So I guess that is the stressful part for me, is like, I just want to try to like make music that I'm proud of and like get better and improve myself as a writer and a musician and a collaborator in any way that I can. So that's my focus always, you know? And so anything else that like comes is like, is, you know, I would be grateful for, but it's like sort of not, it's a byproduct. It's not a focus for me. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. So the next song that we're going to play by you is called 2 Feet. This is actually my favorite song that you have released. I just think it's super cool how you like pack this whole story into a period of time that's like 15 minutes, I think. Mm-hmm. So yeah, can you like introduce that one? Talk about the backstory a little bit.
I wrote this song actually when I was in Victoria. I was visiting a family that I used to nanny for. Like, I used to babysit their kids, and I used to live with them for like a short period of time. And so I was back and visiting them, and it was just so funny how I was thinking about how places that you spend a lot of time in or at can feel incredibly familiar, and like you can just kind of like sink right back into the grooves that you had set, regardless of how much time has occurred in between. And, you know, so just like stepping back into their house that I lived in for a while and like knowing exactly where everything is and like feeling so comfortable immediately. And it just got me thinking about how like that very much can happen with humans and relationships as well, you know, for better or for worse. And it just, you know, it got me thinking, yeah, about all those things. It's essentially just a song about an ex-boyfriend and an imagined occurrence and things that I would say and maybe things that I wouldn't say, and that's what it's about.
Cool. Yeah. Okay, so this is 2 Feet by Sam Lynch.
Quarter after 3, I'm meeting you at 3:45, leaving me with 30 chances to dance my way right out the door. I haven't seen you in years. I fear it's best we left it that way. With you, it's always the same. Feet planted firmly, I'm truly feeling gravity. When you walk in the room, weighty words of halfway healing, I watch your eyes float to the ceiling, and I sink inside. Oh, with you, it's always the same. I moved to leave and it moves in me, the thought that I'd acted so carelessly back when you were at my feet. You caught my hand and you held me too close, guarded man, an abandoned post, dancing toe to toe again. Eyes closed, I know you see me. I inhale and exhale you so deeply. You say you always needed me the most. And here with you, it's always the same. Oh, with me, it's always the same. Almost 3:45. make the call, I grab my keys, I head out the door.
You just heard 2 Feet by Sam Lynch. So, Sam, how would you say the music that you write is similar or different to the music that you listen to?
I don't know. That's a hard question. Because I feel like I listen to a lot of different music. Yeah, I don't really know. I think that humans are like sponges, and like musicians and songwriters especially are like constantly observing and absorbing, and then like, you know, the way that that is then expressed is just kind of funneled through whatever funnel you have on that day, you know? So in terms of like how I find similarities in the music that I listen to and the music that I write, like I don't really know, to be honest. I try not to think about that too much, because it can get you into a really cerebral place where you're like, either like, you know, you hear a song that like really moves you and then you're like, I need to write a song like that, or, you know, or you can like be super self-deprecating, or it can kind of just like squash you a little bit when you start to get into that like comparison place. So I don't know, in terms of like, yeah, I try to just sort of like have a bit more of like a divide and a bit of space between those two schools of thought for myself. Like, I am a listener and I'm an observer, and I appreciate music for what it is. And then when I like step into like my writing place, or like, you know, my creation place, like I'm very much conscious of all of those things that have like I've been absorbing, or, you know, like from when I was a little kid, you know, all the music that I, you know, grew up listening to, like it's all in there. But I feel like you kind of can't like shine too much of a light on that, or else you drive yourself insane. So,
that makes sense.
Yeah.
Are there any artists that you look to for inspiration when it comes to like career, not specifically like their writing style?
Yeah, I've been thinking about this a lot, because I feel like my like taste in music is like a little bit unpredictable sometimes, and so I've been trying to like hone in on what draws me to certain artists. And I feel like kind of like the overarching thing is like I'm just drawn to artists who seem to be making whatever the hell they want, like, and there's just like this sense of like freedom, or like, you know, like looseness, whether or not that's actually the case, I'm sure it's not. But you know, I'm really drawn to, like, I look at like the career of like Feist, and it's like she's just like put out whatever she wants, you know, like following this like huge commercial success, she put out this like this incredible album that like perhaps was not the most like commercially viable, but like that's the best because she just put out what she wanted, you know. And yeah, I don't know, like there's people who just like are really just like clear in like what they want to make and how they want to make it, and like don't allow anything to like alter that or change that, not in a closed off way, but just in like a confident way. So I don't know. Oh God, there's like a million. I don't know. I always get overwhelmed when it's like name drop now.
Oh, it's okay. You don't have to do that.
But yeah, I don't know. I think just like generally speaking, like, you know, I have a long list of artists and bands and creators that kind of represent that for me. But I think, yeah, generally speaking, it's like people who in their career have just kind of like done exactly what they want to do and not felt like married or cemented to like, well, this is what worked, so like do that again.
Yeah, because as soon as you, like, kind of disassociate yourself from, like, what the music actually means to you, then it's like, why are you doing it anymore?
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what would you say, like, I mean, this is a broad question, but, like, what would you say music means to you in your life?
Music to me is, like, it's, like, the greatest question mark. And Yeah, so it's just like, I feel like it's just like forever going to be like uncharted territory for me, which is the most exciting, because I think that it allows me to explore parts of myself that I perhaps wouldn't otherwise. So uncharted in that sense. I think that there is a ceiling that doesn't exist in terms of like what somebody is capable of musically. And so I feel like I will always be able to like reach for something that I don't currently have, which is just as much overwhelming as it is exciting. So yeah, for me, it's just like music to me is like the feeling of like stretching or reaching, which is just like the best feeling, because like who doesn't want to like reach for something bigger than themselves, or like constantly be like in a forward motion, you know? So yeah, I think music is kind of like the like opportunity for me to do that, or like the carrier for those things and feelings.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Okay, so we have time for one more song today, and that's going to be the end of our interview and the end of today's episode. So thank you so much for being interviewed, Sam.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, it's been lovely. Nice. And I guess I just want to give this opportunity. Where can my listeners go to support your music, like online?
I'm on all the internet things. So you can find me on Spotify, Apple Music, iTunes, wherever you like to listen to music. On Instagram and those places. But I think, for me personally, like the biggest support that anyone can ever do is to come to a live show. So yeah, that's where I love to just like talk to people face to face and like see people and do that. So my next show is June 22nd at the Biltmore. I'm really happy to be opening and helping to celebrate Andrew Phelan's EP release. So yeah, that's at the Biltmore on June 22nd.
Cool. And then you're working on an album right now. Mm-hmm. Do you have any idea when that's going to be coming out, or is that still to be determined?
Full project to be determined, but there'll be some new songs coming out in early summer. So June.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So make sure you guys watch out for all of that good stuff.
Yeah.
And can you introduce the last song? It's called Make Light.
Yeah. Make Light. yeah, it's about kind of like being in a dark place and like feeling like you can't necessarily escape it, whether it be literally the darkness of your bedroom, and like seeing the outside and it feeling just terribly far away, but just choosing to like take full ownership of that, and whether that be ownership of like the fact that your feelings are your feelings, and so you can just do with that what you will. Anyway, bad breakup, you know, the thing.
It happens.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. Okay, so this is Make Light by Sam Lynch, and thank you guys for listening to Feeling Sounds. My name is Sarah, and have a wonderful rest of your week.
Strangers.